Your Bible is Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5. While you're turning Galatians 5, let me read a paragraph or two real quickly to you. This is the Declaration of Independence. I know many of you read it many times probably. You young people, I want you to listen and think about this a minute. It says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to be to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governor, or of the people, if you want to say. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is a right of the people to alter, to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation upon such principles and organizing its powers in such forms as to them that seem most likely to affect their safety, happiness, prudence, indeed. When you understand the country, and this morning we touched upon our country and the history and celebrating another birthday in this great nation. Chapter 5 of Galatians, Paul writes in verse number 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the what?" Now here he's talking to Christians in the Galatian church. They wanted to go back to the law, and Christ had freed them from the law. Why do you want to go back and be in bondage to the law and go back into the old system when Christ has freed you from that, where it was not such a heavy weight upon you and yoke upon you? Christ's yoke is easy. And his burdens light. And these people were going back into bondage after they had been set free and had a liberty. Look on, if you would, in verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." This evening, I want to speak just a moment about the danger of losing our liberty. Some people said we have no doubt or we have no threat of losing our liberty. We have been blessed being placed as a nation between two oceans on the east and west. That has prevented a lot of people from coming into the country and invading our country. We used to have awful peaceful means north and south. Now with all this craziness and all this arguing that is totally ridiculous about just opening boundaries and borders and letting whoever wants to come in and then take and drain the coffers of this nation, providing free everything to them, while we work and pay for ours and pay for theirs too. It's one of the most ridiculous things I ever saw in my life. I want to share with you the thought of losing our liberty and going back into bondage. But I want you to understand that the founders of our country recognized a couple things that people don't understand. Now listen up, especially you youngsters. I don't know how many of you were able to watch the debates on the Democratic people that's running for president. Me and Brother Junior was talking about it. He referred to Romans 1:22. They becoming those making themselves wise become fools. I never saw such a scary idea in my life of any of those 20 becoming president. There is, this country is made up of a great diversity of people. That's part of the greatness of this country. Every color, from all nations of the world. And it's a tremendous, and it makes a tremendous thing to know that this country is what it is and the liberties that we share in this country. But when you go back and you understand the beginning of this country, our forefathers broke away for religious freedom. Not religious freedom from God. And by the way, I want you to get this. The founders of this country did not found this country upon any such gods as Allah, Buddha, or any of those.
Amen.
Those are foreign and false gods. It was to the founders. There was no question in their mind that there was only one true living God. That was Jehovah God, Elohim, the God of the Bible.
Amen.
They did not come here to separate them from and have a freedom of religion from God or worship from God. They came to come have worship to God. They did not want denominations of men to come and dictate to them how they were to worship God. So therefore they came setting forth the liberty for us to worship. They did not come to open up the idea that we would come and we would have all these other gods. That was not what this country was founded upon.
Amen.
And the fact that we was founded upon the true living God is the reason why this country has been blessed. As we said this morning, we have not only known liberties that many countries would die for. As a matter of fact, they are dying just to get here. Now, I don't blame anybody for trying to get here. If you've been out to other countries, and I've been in Central America, I've been down south, if you've been in some of those countries, and you come into this country, you recognize there's a vast difference. I don't blame people for doing it. I blame the representatives of this country not making a way to do it the right way. Now, getting on beyond that, let me say this. Going back to the history, we broke away from England and we came over. Then England began to come and set up colonies. Then they began to try to dictate to the people once they were over here again and colonize the settlements. Our forefathers fought a war called the Revolutionary War that freed us from the grasp. And when you read the history of that, you find out how God intervened. Even George Washington, when you read the history of that, you find out one time he went to battle and during that time and they chose to kill him and choose him and pick him. And his coat, his vest and everything was full of bullet holes. Yet he was never hit in the flesh. And they couldn't understand how he could be shot so many times and yet not ever been hit. But God intervened when you read the history and you understand how great he formed this nation. And through the liberty, we are able, and the Bible says liberty here gives an occasion to, not to the flesh, but to serve other people. I get tired of hearing people, especially people in this country, badmouth this country. There's no nation in the world that gives to the rest of the world like this nation does. This nation gives and provides, and somebody has a tragedy, we send millions and billions of dollars over. We send manpower over. Someone gets invaded and we go over there and we fight wars. This country, through the greatness that God has provided this country, has provided us ability to be able to serve all these other countries. Getting back to this, what we need to understand is this country was founded upon being a republic. A republic is where you are governed by the people, for the people, by the people, and of the people. It has slowly turned into a democracy where we are governed by representation of the people. The only problem is our representatives have sold us out and sold us to the highest bidder of special interest. And now we as a people don't have much of a voice in Washington. The only thing is that we go and we vote. And you young people, listen to me very carefully. Every one of you ought to find and understand and look and understand this government and this country and the history. And you ought to vote. When you turn 18, the first thing you ought to do is you ought to go and get registered and vote and be an informed voter. What you find is you find a lot of people that are voting or that's trying to lead this country that has gotten away from the thing that brought greatness and blessedness and prosperity to this country. And what we're doing is some of our actions are causing us to go back into bondage. There's two or three great sins that's been committed by this nation. This younger generation has been made to believe that they're okay. But let me show you just a minute. Keep your finger there. And turn with me, if you would, to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 20. Leviticus, chapter number 20. We have now, through the last administration, we had a president that came in and he committed that he believed that marriage was between a man and woman only. He later on revealed that he was lying the whole time, and his wife revealed that they were lying. And they went to all these other groups, these LGBTs or whatever they're called, all these other groups. And they committed that once he was in office that they would change it. The Bible says, and God said back in the Old Testament in Leviticus, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed a what? Abomination. An abomination is a sin that God never changes his mind on. He never accepts
men lying with men and women lying with women. It was abomination. Look what else he said.
They shall surely be put where?
To death.
Their blood shall be upon them. So in the Old Testament, when they committed the act of homosexuality, what we call homosexuality today, sodomy, sodomites was what they were called and referred to in the Bible. They were caught. They were found worthy of death. Somebody said, well, we live in an age of grace. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 1. In Romans chapter number 1, Paul writing to the church. Says that in verse number 24, and wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into what?
A lie.
A lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that what? Recompense. You know what the recompense means? The penalty of it. Of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. A reprobate mind is where they no longer feel shame. They no longer feel guilt. They no longer see any wrong in what they're doing. Now, you say, well, preacher, but they didn't say anything about putting them to death. Look on down in verse 32, skip down. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are what? Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Our media in this country has gone off the deep end. The media crucifies anyone who stands up and voices against the same-sex act, marriage act that was passed in this country. Not only that, but we also have the courts going against us. Not only that, our schools have been infiltrated. Libraries are now being filled with transgenders and drag queens coming in and telling little kids 5 and 6 year old stories and reading stories to them. Modern Bibles, the NIV that so many churches have adopted, has done away with the word sodomite and even leaves any reference to some of these things out altogether. Our churches have been silent as much as other things have been silent. The act, and this continually, this last week, they had a celebration in this country, a Pride Week. We have someone running for the House of Representatives in Virginia that is a known pedophile. He claims he's a pedophile. Claims he wants to pass laws where it's allowed for men to have sex with children and to marry children. You'd think that they'd run somebody like that out of the country. We have someone on the dockets running for the Democratic presidential that's a homosexual. And all he wants to do is dog Christians that believes against it. You can't change the abomination. And he can try to talk it away, he can try to shame it away, but the truth of the matter is, it's something that God will judge this country on if things are not changed. The reason why I pointed that out is because sins like that, the treatment of Israel, shedding innocent blood of babies in the wombs of mothers, are sins that will bring the judgment of God upon this nation. I said that to say this. There are some ways that we are going back into bondage from liberties that we have enjoyed. Our forefathers fought England to be able to give us freedom and liberty and to set up our own nation. This nation, the United States of America, has this form of government has existed longer than any other form of government in any democracy, because it was founded upon the Word of God. When they came, we had liberty of independence of England, but now we are being held in bondage by our own government. Listen to me. Please listen. This group They stood up there the other day. How many of you, if you're working, paying taxes, how many of you gets free insurance? How many of you gets free food? How many of you gets free college? Yet I heard up there, and every one of them raised their hand and said, the insurance plan I play, anyone in this country illegally shall have free insurance. Not only do they have free insurance, we want to give them free college. We want to give them free food and education. What I want you to understand is this. You young people, if you don't get this, it's going to come back and bite you if Jesus doesn't come. We are not in danger of England putting us back into bondage. But we're in danger of our own government getting so big that it puts us in bondage. And when the government gets so big that you can't fight the government, and it's no longer of the people and for the people and by the people, the government will do whatever they want to do to you. And already it's got to be that bad. If the government as it exists can take the very president of the United States and put them through what they've just put this president through without one shred of evidence, imagine what they could do to you if they wanted to come in your house. And how many times in this situation, just using that for an example, have they come and busted it through a door and come in and took everything, even his own attorney's records? We are not in threat of losing our liberty to England, but we're in threat of losing to our own government if we continue trying to make this government bigger. And when you have a government who gives and maintains and controls everything of the people, and the people looks to the government, and you know the worst thing about this country and this government that some people have not figured out? You know, I was watching these debates, and they were arguing about race relations. We fought long and hard to free any slaves that we had in this nation. A lot of blood, a lot of people died to make that possible here. Our government is enslaving the groups of people again, but they're enslaving them financially, economically, and they depend upon the government for everything they get. And when they depend upon them for all their checks and all their existence and all their living, then the government can do what they want to with those people. And what's happening is this. We're having a group that wants to rise up and they want to make this government so big. I'm going to tell you something. The bigger the government gets, the more liberties that you lose and the greater bondage you are into the government. And the government can come and take everything they want. I heard one say that they thought they ought to tax at least 70 to 90% of those people that's got money. I don't begrudge people that's got money. I worked for them all my life. If they didn't have money, I wouldn't have had a job. Now, people that got it illegally, God deal with in time. People that got it unjustly, God will deal with it. But the point of the matter is, the fact that they, and by the way, a lot of them wants to tax those people, got theirs illegally. When you read the history of our founding fathers, when they accepted a role in the government, most of them couldn't last over a term or two because they couldn't afford it because they gave up too much money to come in and work for the government. And they didn't do it for the government, they did it for the people, for the love of the country. And after that, they'd walk on and let somebody else be a statesman for a while. And their decisions were what was best for the country. Now they get up there, and they walk in there, and poor as a dirt dauber, and next thing you know, they're a millionaire. Amen. And they're sold out to every special interest going on. And every one of them, you can tell what they're going to vote before the issue ever comes up, just by knowing the issues and knowing who bought them and who sends them paychecks. Folks, we're losing our liberty. Not to England again, But we're going to be in bondage to the government if we don't wise up. And you young people, don't buy into all this garbage that the government's the answer. Second of all, liberty of God's law. When we get into bondage of man's laws. Isaiah 5:20 says that there would come a day when men would call evil good and good evil. That's exactly what's happening today. Everything that God says is evil, all of a sudden we want to make popular. We want to make drugs. We want to make gambling. We want to make alcohol. All those things, and soon it'll be prostitution, that we want to make legal so that we can tax it. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And you know why they want so much money? Power. Money is power. And therefore what we're doing is we're leaving God's laws of what he says is right, what he says is decent, what he says is moral, and we have this other group stand over here, and I heard them the other day in that debate, and they were telling us the moral compass of what we need to be. And they were so far off the biblical base of what God says is moral and immoral, and the very one that was making argument doesn't understand that he's an abomination in God's eyes in his lifestyle. Folks, you lose your liberty when you leave God's law and you begin to go put man's law in its place. Because man will say that which is good he'll call evil. That which is evil he'll call good. We have liberty of prosperity. Now listen to me. This country has been made great. We're able to give. We're able to bless so many people in so many places. But we can't keep borrowing money and doing that. We're going in debt, and what we understand is this. When you're in debt, you're a slave to the one in which you are indebted to. And when we keep borrowing from a country like China, and we're thinking we're allowing ourselves to be free, we're putting ourselves in bondage. Young people, let me let you in on a little secret. You don't start out by having new cars and new houses. Too many people try to do that. Chris and I, when we got married, we spent 2 years laying up furniture and buying furniture and finding places we could buy furniture to have ready for a house when we got married. When we got married, we got a trailer. The trailer was $100 a month. We lived in that trailer. I drove a Volkswagen Bug. Gave $800 for it. She drove a Torino. Outrun my Bug. Had a 351 Cleveland in it. I'd still like to have that one back. But the point of the matter is, we bought our cars and we paid them off free and clear. Wasn't the best cars. My Bug would have brakes half the time, and half the time it wasn't. I'd have all kinds of issues with it. But that was life. Kept oil company in business. You put a little oil in, then every now and then you put gas in. But the point of the matter is this. You got to learn, listen, young people. You can't spend more money than you bring in. It's going to catch you sooner or later. And if this government keeps spending more money than it's bringing in, it's going to send us right back into bondage again. We're going to lose the liberties that we enjoy in this great nation. Now, a couple more, and I'm going to close, but I want you to think about this. Liberty of sinfulness. Holiness to sinfulness. And liberty of peace for fear. Can you imagine having to live in fear? You know, when you allow people just whoever, don't know who it is, you got all these people lined up wanting to come into this country. They're wanting to come in legally. They're standing in line. They're being told what they need to do. Then you got this other group saying, well, just come on cross here. You get across, and then all of a sudden we're going for, you let it all go. But how about those people that wants to do harm to this country? And I understand, not everybody. Most people who come in this country because they realize this is a great nation, they want to come in and make a life here for them. So I understand that. But there ought to be a way in which they come in. Everybody else who came in there, my forefathers, your forefathers, your fathers and mothers, whoever it may be, they came in that way and they waited in turn. They came and they paid the price to get in here. But we shouldn't have to live in fear. There are places, now listen to me. There are places now in this nation that you go into, and it's like going into a third world country. There are places, and I know the president has been battling this MS-13. But I was watching, I was studying, I was looking up a lot of film strip on the issue, and there were places that you could not go into that community. Law enforcement wouldn't go in there without being armed with tanks and so forth, and you could not go in that community. And if you went as just yourself right now, you women went in there, you'd be raped and there'd be nobody to help you. Men would be beaten, killed, and taken, robbed, and just left us beside the road. There are places in this great nation, and I appreciate the fact that they're trying to battle these things and clean them back up again because they got in where it was war zones. You shouldn't have to be fearful of being around your house and living in your neighborhood. You shouldn't have to be fearful to step out of your house in this great country. And this all this liberal bunch wants to do away with the Second Amendment. Why do I have guns? To protect myself. Do I ever want to shoot anybody? Absolutely not. But don't come in my house in the middle of the night. And don't two or three people come and try to do harm to me and my family. If you do, I'm going to shoot you. If I have to shoot you. Do I want to? No. But if the government gets all my guns, guess what? I'm defenseless. And so therefore what we do is we are given from a place of peace and prosperity. If we're not careful, our actions takes us back into fear and bondage. Now, why did I say that? You young people, listen to me. If you don't listen to this, you're not worth your salt. It's going to be up to you to keep this land a land of liberty. And you can't be brainwashed with all this stuff that this educational system is pushing on you. You got to think for yourself. The Bible says God doesn't call many wise. And they, thinking themselves to be wise, became fools. If you watch that debate, every one of them, most of them was college educated. And you know what I thought as I listened to them? They was a bunch of fools. Could care less about this country. Had no knowledge of the history of this country. Had no knowledge of what made this country great. And everything I heard up there was just things that was going to throw us right back into bondage again. And so, Patrick, I don't know, how old are you now, son? 12. 6 more years, if something doesn't change, you'll be able to vote. Shame on you if you're not voting. Understand? Same way you guys at back there. You guys back there and you girls. Shame on you if you don't take advantage when you're 18 to vote. That's what keep this country, that's what's made it great. Be educated. Step out. Voice your opinion. And don't just say, well, it's going to happen anyway, I'm going to let it happen. If you do, then this nation's going to lose its liberties and you're going to be a nation of bondages again. Amen. Don't put yourself there again. Amen. The same way that Paul said to the Christian people, you've been saved free from the law, don't go back into it. We've been made with such liberties. Let's not give them back up again to go back into bondage. And if we don't change our ways, that's exactly what's going to happen in this country. And you're not going to recognize America. I already don't recognize it. To the one I grew up in. But you're not going to really recognize it. give another 20 or 30 years going the direction we're going. So be willing to stand and make your voice known, amen. You've been blessed to be a part of this. And this is the greatest nation on the earth. And don't forget that. Amen. Let's stand tonight.